Raised Rowdy.
All right, well, welcome to the Raised Rowdy podcast. I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And we have our special guest, Ms. Shana G. How are you?
Howdy. I've been better.
Hey. It does happen like that sometimes in these Nashville jobs.
It does. And it just sucks to get dumped.
Yeah.
And, you know, that is a thing.
Well, luckily, you're having a on-the-internet party of telling people you're single. So welcome to unlimited DMs. That's
hit me up, bro.
I saw Bailey post that, something like, hit me up in my DMs. He said that live at the Sand in My Boots Festival or whatever. So there you go. That's your move.
Hey.
That's a great move. Yeah. I love it. That. Stealing from Bailey.
No tourists, though, probably.
No tourists. No, yeah. Thank you. I don't do the long distance thing. I'm a clingy bitch.
Yeah. And we're not talking about signs. No tourists, but no tourists.
Yeah.
Right?
I am a Taurus. So Tauruses are fine, but welcome. Yeah, no tourists.
What's your birthday?
Taurus is welcome.
My birthday is May 8th.
I'm May 2nd.
Oh.
Very cool. We should have had a joint birthday party.
Yes.
I'm going to have a drink here.
Celebrating now.
This is to you. Cheers.
Cheers.
To the next chapter.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, listen. Relationships come and they go, but good music lasts forever.
That's right.
So amen.
That's the thing we're here to talk about.
Yeah, really. The last time that this same person broke up with me, I wrote the fastest climbing streaming song of my career. So, you know, I'm just waiting for the next one of those.
Art has a cost.
That's right. And heartbreak just loves to follow me everywhere.
Heartbreak is a thing. If you give your heart, eventually it's going to be broken sometimes.
Yes. Heartbreak, whiskey, and country music. That's that's my life.
That's the brand. Well, thank you for sharing those things with us. The heartbreak in form of song, the whiskey in form of us drinking sometimes, and then the music whenever you come and play our events. We appreciate the shit out of
it. Yes, I love playing y'all's events. Yeah. And like Matt was, you know, I met Matt the first year that he lived in town. And so, you know, it's always fun to like see your class rising and all the things.
That's so true. I love thinking back to the early days, like when I moved to town and who was coming up and where they are now. And I remember when I moved to town, I didn't know anyone with a record deal. I didn't know anyone that had anything going on. And then it's like, now it's like tons of my friends have record deals.
Yeah. And pub crazy. Deals.
Yeah.
And massive tours. And like, it's just awesome.
Crazy.
It's just awesome.
Or just doing it their own way, making money, playing music.
Yes.
Like, oh, they're not broke anymore. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, even like when I moved to town, I was paying $400 for a room. I moved here with $300. And like now I live in a high rise with a doorman and like can do all the things that I want to do. And I don't have to like think about adding avocado. And like, you know, if I spend a couple hundred dollars on my credit card a night out, I'm like, well, that was stupid, but I'm not going to lose my place to stay because of it.
Yeah. And so and when you first moved to town, what was like some of your first gigs or first jobs or what were you doing?
I have only played music for a very, very, very long time. So
what a blessing.
That's great.
It is a blessing. But I did the good old fashioned freaking Broadway thing, and it sucked me in real hard at the beginning. I still do play on Broadway, but it's just more of a job now than my also entertainment.
Yeah.
I moved here. I was like, I'm only going to play on Broadway for 6 months, and then I'm going to just quit and focus on my solo career. And I had like played the Whiskey Jam, played Listening Room, played all the things, like checked all the lists off in 6 months. And I was like, well, that didn't move the needle at all.
Yeah.
So now I need to like do something. And I put out an EP in 2017 and I just put it out to the internet as we artists tend to do. And nothing happened with that. So I kept playing on Broadway. And then I just kept putting out music and not having any plan along with it. And I would only put out like a song a year. And like, you have to do more than that to do the industry thing. Mm-hmm. And so I just was doing that at the beginning. And eventually people were like, how are you an artist if you're only putting out a song a year? I'm like, it's a good point. I should probably rev this up a little bit.
It's an interesting thing too, because it's like, how do you have the money to put out the songs?
Yes.
How do you know what to do with them when you get a good song that's done?
I mean, there's so many songs that, I mean, we hear in Nashville that people will never hear because the people, I don't do social media and I don't do, you know, the thing. And it's like, I was very much guilty of that for a very long time. And in 2019, my bass player, we were on the road in Florida and was like, I just got this thing called a TikTok. You should get one. And I was like, fuck that shit. I'm not getting another social media app. Well,
that's what I said.
Yeah, like that's stupid. And I did that for years and ignored it. And then I saw like the Priscilla Blocks pop off and like all these people, the girl that sings with the coffee and like whatever, all these, you know, and I'm like, I guess I should like post on social media. So in 2022 is when I got on TikTok, and a song I had put out in 2019 popped off in 2022. And I was like,
oh,
so people just had to know this existed. I guess like that's a, it had like 3,000 streams when I put it on social media, and it was like instantly at 100,000 streams. And I was like,
whoa.
Oh, so this one isn't like Instagram. Like, because yeah. Instagram, people don't go from Instagram to Spotify, but TikTok, it was overnight. And it's just like, oh, okay, I guess I can do this. I guess I can like put some time into this.
Well, and then once you see some results, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, let's go to battle with this.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Let's freaking try to make it happen.
Yeah, well, it's a tale as old as time. Every artist does it. Every artist is like, this is great. People will find it.
Mm-hmm.
No, people aren't looking like that. They're waiting for it to come across their screen.
Yeah.
So if we lose TikTok in the next, you know, extension, I'll be real sad, but it's okay.
Something else will follow behind it. Yeah, it'll just definitely. Be a different game. Yep. You know?
Absolutely. And now we know how to play it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I feel like TikTok was like the Wild West. But now it feels like maybe it's calmed down a little bit. Is it still random music popping off, or for like sure. Is it still as like?
It's just back in those early days, there was only a couple artists on there, so it was like if you were popping, it showed it to everyone that was into that segment. Now there's just a lot of people that are like, oh, this is a great resource.
People like I can set up my phone and lip sync, and it might pop off. Like so, more people are definitely doing it, but I definitely. There is a strategy, and there is like a way to make sure that, like, you know, it doesn't happen every day anymore like it used to, where every video was, you know, tens of thousands of views, and then every month or every 2 weeks or so, one would get over a million. And it's like, you know, now it's more like every 10 videos gets tens of thousands, and then like once every 2 months, one goes over a million.
Yeah.
And it's kind of more feast or famine than like on Instagram, where it's like, you just kind of get mediocrity all the time.
Maybe. Yes. And like Instagram, it shows it to the people I know, which is more embarrassing.
Yeah, that's funny. But true to think about.
Yeah, it's like they can see that this lip sync is off. Yeah. And like my friends are going to judge me on TikTok. I'm like, it's a little bit off, whatever. But I'm sick of playing with it. Like, and that'll be the one that gets fucking 300,000 views. Wow. And I'm like, you guys can tell that this is not lip synced, like matched up, and they don't care.
Sometimes that's might be why they stay there. They hear the song and they're like, oh, okay. And they're like, wait, her lips aren't exact. Oh, this song's actually really good. You know, like that's what kept them there long enough for it to like.
Maybe that's the psychology behind it. I don't know. I haven't figured it out yet, but I'm definitely way less curated on TikTok than I am on my Instagram. I only post once or twice a week because I'm like, it has to be perfect. There's so much pressure. Like, you know,
so you don't just dump everything on both apps and no,
I do totally different things on all of them.
It's cool though.
I don't know what to do.
That's
I just play guitar, but
we'd be richer if we did.
I'm not an artist. Yeah.
But no, like honestly, like we've talked about that too. Like Matt and I were like, okay, if we want to do podcasting full time as a job for a living, we probably need to be posting like we're an artist.
And you get so many sound bites from all these podcasts. Yeah. Like someone always says some stupid shit.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's sometimes the hard part too, is like a PR person's like, not that. That can be in the long form, but not, that's not the clip.
Yeah. You know? No, it has to be the funny, the.
Or sometimes they only want the stuff that's talking about their music. They don't want anything else.
Yeah. That's boring.
Yeah.
It's
true.
We have like full access to people now. Like let them know your story.
Yeah.
Like I am very transparent. I mean, you know, I come in here and I'm like, I feel like shit. I might cry today. Like we're just going to find out as the day goes on, because like people need to know they're not alone.
Yeah.
You know, and if someone as an artist doesn't want to do that, that's okay. But it is like such a place of like people, while we're so connected, we're also so disconnected from people. And it's like, I'm the only one feeling this way right now. And it's like, no, you're not.
No.
Like there are tons of people sitting in their bedroom right now contemplating whether they want to live the next day.
Yeah.
And like, you just have to wake up and do it again because somebody is going to miss you, and you have to just like push on, because like we all get down, but there is always a, you know, light at the end of the tunnel. There's always a good day that makes it worth it.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, and honestly, music heals so many people.
Yeah. It brings people together.
Yeah.
And so, like, maybe in, like, the 90s and earlier, we didn't get that access, and we just got the curated artist of who they are or whatever. But now, like, you don't really have the option. Like, yeah. It's kind of like people want to know what's, they want to know about your relationship. They want to know about your dogs. They want to know every little, how you take your coffee. Like, it's stupid little things, but it makes them feel more connected to the music. So it's like mm-hmm. a give and take of like, how much am I willing to give to my audience in order to get them to do what I want them to do, which is just listen to my music, buy tickets, buy hats, yeah. and come out, you know.
And that's, I talk about that a lot with artists, like, because people ask me, like, I know what I'm talking about, even though I don't, you know. But they're like, well, what can I do? And I'm like, well, figure out what makes you you.
Yeah.
And then how much of that are you willing to give to random strangers on the internet, 10,000 people at a time?
Yes. And you like know. Niche down as far as you can, because like I did have my EP Angela was definitely like more pop country than my other stuff. Mm-hmm. And I had an investor at the time and I was being told like, everyone wants you to be a rock artist. This is why it hasn't worked for you, because you're trying to be a country artist and you're a rock artist and like whatever. So I put out this EP and nothing connected with my audience because that wasn't my audience. Yeah. And then the next song I put out was back to what I wanted to put out. And like what I paid $800 to get recorded.
Yeah.
And of course that popped off again because it was authentic to me. And then when I started touring, I would go to my shows and I'm like, all these people look like me.
Yeah.
Like I was trying That's to so pander true. To an audience that wasn't my audience.
Yeah.
And like, of course, like there's songs that like still did okay and like whatever. And like people, industry loves my song Lost and Found because it's like what would be on the radio.
Yeah.
But like I don't feel a connection. Even I wrote it and yeah. But I was writing with a purpose at that time. Mm-hmm. And it's like the people that are buying the records and feeling something just want that sad girl shit. They don't care. Yeah. Like they want to hear that stuff or the upbeat songs about fucking being an alcoholic because I was an alcoholic. And like it just is what it is. Like that's mm-hmm. you got to play to your people and not try to look for your audience.
Well, and that's artistry, right? If you're thinking about it, like if you're steering the ship, it's where you want to go. And then if it wins or it loses, it's your stuff, you know?
Yes, exactly.
So the great artists, I'm sure someone told Picasso he shouldn't paint how he painted.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
There's you know? Not three eyes there.
Yeah. But that's the thing is it's art for a reason. And I've heard so many people say you're making art for yourself. And if it's great, then everybody else will love it too.
It's so much easier said than done because yeah, we are totally. All people yeah. and we all want to fit in.
Yeah.
So it's like, I catch myself doing that all the time. Like, what's going to pop off on TikTok next?
Yep.
And it's like, just post how you feel right now.
Yeah.
And, you know.
One of the interesting things for me is like thinking about like visual hooks and like, you know, like auditory hooks or like on-screen hooks and stuff like that.
Yes.
But the content after that, you can hook them, but the content after that has to be good or they're not coming back.
Yep.
They're not going to follow.
Yep, you know? Exactly.
They might love that one piece of content, but how are you going to get them to stay there and be a fan of you?
Yeah.
You know, it's
and the only way is by being you.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So you said you moved to town, had your EP that you dropped that kind of was like what someone else's idea was.
Yeah. I had put out, so the first EP that I put out was my music, like was what I wanted to do. And I had a boyfriend at the time that worked at Blackbird. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to record the whole thing like nice. In Studio D and like yeah. be, you know, it was free. Yeah. And it was just like, I got some session musicians and I, you know, really like I got the guys, like the
it old, sounds like it,
like the old guys yeah. in town, like the
Brent Mason or
like it was
Paul
just
Franklin or whoever.
Yeah, my brain is going to draw a blank because my last project, I also used session guys and I used the younger session guys. Yeah. But I did that project and it didn't do anything because of not promoting. And I was like, am I doing something wrong? And the thing I was doing wrong was not promoting it. Yeah. And so when I got an investor, I put out another session. I actually flew out to LA and recorded it with like, now these guys are working on like Jelly Roll and stuff. But at the time they were working on like Machine Gun Kelly and like all that stuff. And I was like, okay, like I'm doing it with these guys that are the right guys.
Yeah.
And like, this is the stuff. And I had already had like one little pop of my song Ghost, which is one that I produced and recorded with my ex-boyfriend, and we did it live with my band at Southern Ground.
Such and, a cool room.
I love that room. Yeah. It is my favorite room of all time. When it was for sale over COVID, I tried to find any investors that would buy it. And I was like, come on, 10 million? There's got to be somebody that has $10 million that would do this with me. Like, you know, I got 10 grand on it. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Give me the 1%.
Yeah.
But it is my favorite. That is my... Of the studios I've recorded in so far in the world, Southern Ground is my favorite. And the fact that they have lunch and like
yes.
the
So the in the basement of the studio, it's like the Zach Brown studio, right? Yeah. In the basement, they have this wonderful kitchen, and they bring a cook in, and they do. How would you describe the food there? It's awesome.
Perfect. Yeah. I don't know, because I've recorded there. I used to live right down the street, and so they used to give me a rainy day schedule. And like, if someone would cancel the day before, they'd call me and be like, "Hey, we can give it to you for, I'm not going to say on the podcast, but
good deal,
$1 million,
ridiculous." And so I'd be like, "Yeah, I'll come in." So I probably had full like 4 or 5 days there, and every time it's been something different. Mm-hmm. And like, they still, even on my discounted price, bring in the chef and all that stuff. And I was like, "Oh, I love this place." And the floors are made of Taylor guitar wood.
Crazy,
like. That is
such a vibe.
It's such a vibe. And like, I smoked weed in there and all did all the things. They're like, "Yeah, whatever." Like,
they're like, "Yes, of course.
Yeah, go ahead. You're paying for the studio the day." I'm
You're
like,
seasoning the studio.
Fuck yeah. Yeah, season my vocal cords in the studio at the same time.
Yeah.
That's the, but yeah, that is my favorite place. But yeah, I had recorded that song, and like, that popped off in the meantime of while I was recording this other music. And I was like, fuck.
It always happens.
Did I just make a mistake? But I had already, the guy had spent all the money on the music. It was songs I wrote. I was like, I'm still going to put them out. And like, whatever. And I know there's some fans out there that those are their favorite songs, because yeah. I'll play shows and they'll be like, "Oh my God, play the moon." And like, you know, whatever. And I'm like, people listened to that EP? Okay, whatever. But then after that, I was like, okay, I don't feel like passion for this kind of music, like whatsoever. So yeah. I went back to just putting out what I want to. And I got a production deal with a producer in town that really freaking nailed the stuff. And then after that production deal went out, I went back to my guy that's $850, and I've been putting out the last few singles myself, just doing it on a budget, because I cannot afford to do things without deals.
Yeah.
That high rise apartment costs a lot of money.
Oh yeah. Well, that's an expensive thing to do. And then that's just the music. Then you got to do promotion.
Content days. Yeah. I do 2 content days a month. Yeah. And like, everything costs money in, like, you know, in this industry. It takes money to make money. But I'm like, I'm ready for, you know, when I'm touring, obviously I'm making good money, but it's exhausting.
Yeah.
And so
I was just talking to Kurt about that. I was like, I really don't like traveling that much anymore. I just am so tired for so long after I get back. And like, being a musician and an artist and being on the road, like, kind of is your full-time job. It's a crazy thing.
Well, and I'm sure like, y'all can relate to this, but it's like, as soon as you feel like you're back into a routine, it's time to go out on the road.
Yeah.
And it's
like, you're never really on the road, and you're never really home.
Yes.
So it's like, your bag is always half packed.
Oh, that's, I am the worst at that. I live out of a suitcase. Mm-hmm. It's so bad. And especially because I'm a weekend warrior, and mm-hmm. like, I'm a spoiled brat. By the time I like started really going on the road hard, like as an adult, when I was in my 20s living in California, I was on the road all the time. But when you're a kid, it's so different. But like, I had already had some pops on TikTok, so I was able to ask some higher guarantees and whatever. It's like, so I don't drive places. I only fly. Mm-hmm. I only stay in hotels and like whatever. But I'm like living with a suitcase and my guitar and like, all right, I'll fly in, do this. Like, a day at the airport isn't much better than just driving out to the freaking gig. Like,
especially now, going with your guitar through TSA is crazy.
At Nashville, mm-hmm. you would think they would make the machines bigger if they knew that the guitar is. And I look at that freaking TSA machine every time I'm in Nashville and I'm like, it will fit. You're lying to me. Mm-hmm. I know it will fit. Just let me try. I'll bring my shitty Epiphone next time and I will just put it through. And you guys don't. And they make you take everything out of the case.
Every little pocket, nook and cranny.
I have to take every pick out. It's like, you guys, crazy. Like, they'll look at my string winder and it has clippers on the end of it. And they're like, is this the right, like, or 2 batteries? Because you can't have 2 batteries, because that's also the same amount that a bomb uses. And it's like, but you see, I'm not using it for a bomb. You see that I'm using it for my guitar.
So frustrating.
They should have like a guitar line special at Nashville.
They should, man. And also, it's like, then you're like looking at Instagram. It's like, people complain about like, half my feed is people complaining about airlines. Yeah. I'm like, this is so boring. Like, the airlines don't care. Like,
it finally got good with Southwest, and then they changed their freaking policy.
Yeah.
And I was like, I am a Southwest stan. Like, I only fly Southwest, and like, I almost don't take gigs unless Southwest flies there. Like, the only places that I like have to fly like American is like North Dakota. And I'm like, ah, dang it. But they're getting rid of their I'm like A-list preferred, like whatever. And so I'm like, I can at least get on first, get my guitar in. But now all these people that aren't going to be checking their bags, they're going to be trying to get that overhead space. I'm like, no. I need it. I'm not.
It just gets harder and harder to be a touring musician, I feel like.
Yes.
Especially at the, you know, lower levels.
When they like look at you like, why are you bringing this guitar on? It's like, I'm not bringing it for fun to play at the campfire. Like, I wouldn't bring this if I didn't need it for work. Yeah. And I've started, even like when I tour in Europe, I try to find friends that I can just, hey, can I, or I, like, I played in Ireland last year. I just rented a guitar.
Yeah, back on it.
I was just like, fuck this.
It's crazy. Megan Patrick has a tattoo of the law that says you can bring the guitar on the plane.
That's funny.
So she just like shows her arm.
I am now a fan of Megan Patrick. Yeah. That is that is petty to its core, and I love it.
So fucking funny.
That's hilarious. I love Megan too.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons to be a fan of hers, but that's just one of the many.
That is, wow.
So funny.
Yeah.
So mostly doing fly gigs. Does that mean you're doing more acoustic gigs than full band, or is it, what kind of mix?
Yes,
are you at?
Definitely. Yeah. I do a ton of acoustic, and my music lends itself to acoustic, so it's okay. Like that. But like this weekend, I brought my band out. We played in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And like we were able to drive, so it's not, you know. But I fly them out to, you know, San Diego. We played in Cancun this year. That was fun. It's like, oh, this is why I do this. Like, and we only had the gig one day, and they had us out there for three.
Oh, that's
and
great.
You know how it is. Like, they want to hang with the band.
Yeah.
That's why they fly us out.
Yeah.
Like almost every gig that I play, it's like I'm at the level where I hang, and like after the shows, I take shots of whiskey with the promoter and with all the people, and like, you know, and I like to say I'll always be like that because I'm a hanger. I love I love the party. I love the you know, even when I'm not drinking, because I don't drink all the time anymore.
Yeah.
Because y'all, you know,
it's hard.
Yeah. Every we could have a reason to drink every day.
Yeah.
Like.
Well, that's like when we're hosting events. I'm like, I'll have a drink maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm not.
Yeah, it's not like it used to be where every occasion is let's get blackout, freaking end up at Red Door, close it down.
Mm-hmm.
But at least Red Door has food, so you're not.
The food is back, baby.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things too. It's like, if you're three drinks in and you make a mistake, you're a drunk idiot. If you make a mistake and you're sober, you just made a mistake.
You just made a mistake. Yeah. And you can wake up the next day and you can like stick to your gym routine and stick to your, you know, obligations. Like, the business part of music is still exists, and like there are calls at 7 a.m. and there are things that you have to do, and it's like, can I do it hungover? Absolutely. I've done it. I've played shows where I've ran off stage, thrown up, and then got back on stage. Like, it is possible for sure. Do I want to do that anymore?
No.
Most of the time, no. I'll pick a special occasion gig here and there, like a place that I, North Carolina again, but a place that I play in North Carolina is the top selling Rumplemintz bar in the country.
Oh my gosh.
And I have a toxic relationship with Rumplemintz. I love it. I was just like, you know, you get minty fresh breath with your blackout. Like, it's
so true.
So I definitely go hard on the Rumplemintz at that gig. But like, there's, I only pick certain ones to get super fucked up.
Yeah. Well, and it's funny too, because you say that. I mean, our brand's called Raise Rowdy. So like, people just assume that I'm going to get hammered with them at every event.
Yes.
And I'm like, I had to break that habit.
Yeah.
You know?
Which has been great for you.
Oh, yeah. My liver probably thanks me daily.
I'm naturally rowdy.
Yeah.
That's and yeah.
Not quite as rowdy as when I'm.
Yeah, we didn't move to Nashville to drink. We moved to play music, you know?
Yeah.
It's the most important thing.
And kind of drink.
Yeah. True. Especially when I first moved to town.
Yeah.
It's like the freshman 15, but the Nashville 15.
Yes. My first 5 years were, I don't remember a goddamn thing. Yeah. Like, literally, I'll meet someone and they're like, we met at this, this, this. I'm like, you didn't meet me.
Oh, yeah.
That was called my 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice to see you again.
Oh, yeah. Hey, what's up?
Yeah. You know John Smith? Yeah. Me too. That's
we all know John Smith. I feel like that sometimes, though, sometimes people haven't met me and pretend like they did. Sometimes also they're like, hey. And I'm like, hey.
I very openly, the first time I met you, was like, we have never met before, but my catchphrase is howdy, let's get rowdy. And I feel like we need to do something, you know, like.
Well, I knew you before I knew you from online
social media
and stuff.
Yeah.
And through mutual friends.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I knew you before we met.
Yes.
But like, sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
I'm like,
no.
Who is? And people are like, oh, you know that person? I'm like, no, I don't. Maybe, you know.
I know. Well, and people will like, fans will come up to me and talk to me like they like. And I'm like, I know you know me.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
What a weird feeling.
They're like, I'm blah, blah, blah from TikTok. Like, I'm Brian Jones from TikTok. Like, okay. Awesome.
Yeah.
Nice to meet you. Thank you for your support. Like, yeah, I appreciate every single person, but like, I don't know how to react in some of those situations other than to just be thankful that they know that they follow me. And, you know, but I don't know. Sometimes I'm just like, thank you.
Yeah. It's a strange thing. You know, it's a great thing. That means
amazing.
That you're doing something right that people are enjoying seeing.
Yes. And they feel like we're friends.
Yeah.
And that is, I feel like, what social media, like you're like, it is those personality posts of like, you know,
hey, I'm going through it today. Or, hey, here's why I wrote this badass song that you love so much.
Here's my dog. Yeah. Here's my, you know, all the little things that are in my, here's like a thing off my balcony. I can see the BMI rooftop and like, you could be at the concert with me and like all the, you know, the fun.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also this weird thing too, where I forget what it's called, some syndrome or something, where when people watch a lot of someone's videos like that they actually associate them with friendship. Like they're actually friends. But it's just, I listened to a podcast on it recently and I forget what it's called, but it's like people think that they're your friend, you know, it's like,
it's a real phenomenon.
Yeah. Oh. But in reality, it's like, you've never talked to them in your entire life. You have no reason to be their friends, but they just feel that way. It's part of like the fandom thing.
I love it. We need fans.
Yeah.
I'm so glad people love country music.
Yes. Same.
And now country's cool. Yeah. As Lainey Wilson says.
Country is cool again. And I mean, the crossover of country right now is wild, too.
Yeah. When I lived in California, country was not cool. Mm-hmm. We had like a scene that was like the same five artists that played every opening slot that came through town, every country event, and line dancing was huge.
Yeah.
But country was not cool.
Interesting. What part of California?
I'm from right outside of L.A.
Gotcha.
I'm from Rancho Cucamonga, California.
That's fun
and
to say.
Yeah, uh-huh. Right? And I've lived all over Southern California, mm-hmm. So that's home.
How long have you been here now?
9 years.
Crazy. Well, you're almost at the 10 year.
I'm almost at the 10 year mark. And so I feel like I'm right where I need to be at the 10 year mark. Like, you know,
no. And one of the things, like when we talk about artists is like distinct voice. When I hear your voice, I know exactly it's you, you know, whether it's coming out of like a live show or when it's coming out of my playlist, you know, anything like that. And I think that's so powerful. Specifically, I think some females have more trouble with that even than guys do, in terms of like the female range might like live closer to each other.
Everyone kind of sounds the same.
Yeah. And yours does not. You sound very distinct when you hear
that. I always am like, I don't have a good voice, but you can tell who my voice is. Like you can tell, like, it's like Tom Petty. He wasn't the best singer in the world, but
you're a fantastic singer.
Well, thank you. I feel like I just sound like a pack of cigarettes, but
I was gonna say cigarettes. Yeah, you do. But it's great.
Thank you. I had a band come up to me and I know that they were trying to be like kind of insulting. And it was like a band that opened for me somewhere like 3 months ago. And they're like, oh, my drummer was like, I wonder how many cigarettes it takes her to warm up. And I was like, actually one. Thank you.
That's kind of funny.
Like, yeah.
That is kind of great.
I'm like, no, I do. I used to be a bowl, but I just cut down on weed to only right before I go to sleep because it wasn't doing anything for me anymore.
Yeah.
Smart.
That's honestly how I smoke weed. I mean, either do it an hour before I go to bed so I can explore my brain.
Yes, yes, yes.
Or just to make it so that my shoulders don't hurt anymore so that I can sleep.
Yeah. I was from the minute I woke up until the minute I went to sleep person since I was 14 years old. Yeah. And
well, good for you for cutting back.
Yeah.
That's hard.
I had to just be like, I don't even get high anymore.
Yeah.
And then I took a whole month off last August. And then I smoked again and I was like, oh,
we back.
So after that, I was like, okay, well, if I want this to still be like a recreational thing, like I need to, you know, make it just either for special occasion. Like when I'm writing, if people come to my house to write, I have the bong on the table and like whatever. And I open my window and we're smoking bowls. But like if I'm just sitting at my house, like I don't need to be stoned 24/7 because it just makes me eat.
Yeah. Well, and
same.
Your brain works differently. You know?
Yes.
And you get into a routine where that's normal. But I'm not accomplishing goals when I'm high.
No.
I can be creative and I can live in that space.
And I can get my grocery shopping done and I can get my rent paid and I can show up to my gig, but I'm not doing anything extra.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, that's one of the things for me is And I mean, alcohol is the same way for me. If I'm drunk during the day, I'm doing nothing productive.
Oh, yeah.
I'm way more productive on weed than I am on alcohol.
Yeah, that's for damn sure.
You know?
The only times I really drink now is, like I said, either those gigs I pick that are whatever, or if I have to network.
Yeah.
And, like, not just be there.
But really
I have to. Because if I have to be there, like, I'm showing up with no makeup on. I'm hanging out. I'm just like not a get ready, like talking. But if I have to actually talk to people and do the thing, it's like, all right, where's the tequila?
Yeah.
The other day I went to a show. I went to a show by myself, and which I haven't done in a long time. And I ordered a beer. It was at Exit Inn, JR show. And I was drinking this beer, and it was like a Miller Lite. It was like 24-ounce beer. It's huge. And I'm drinking it, and I'm just like, sometimes, like a lot of times, a beer hits. I love a good cold beer. This today, just I was too full or something, so I drank that beer and then I switched. And I drank like a weed drink, and it was great. I don't know. It was like,
did it do anything?
Oh yeah,
I haven't had one of those yet.
Well, I had one, and I remember Nick said, "Have one's fine. Have two, you're feeling good." So then, but I by myself, so I wanted to have something in my hand the whole time, enjoying the show. Then I got another one, and then afterwards, the band was like, "You want to come back and hang?" And I was like, no, you guys go ahead. I had to like go home and like just watch TV and like chill. But like it worked great. And then the next day felt fine.
Well, it depends on your tolerance for sure. You know what I mean?
Mine's low. Yeah.
Edibles get me fucked up.
I don't mess with them anymore.
No, I can't do them.
The problem with me and edibles is, number one, I don't want to be in public because if I'm on that journey and I go too far, I don't want to be too far around people.
Yep.
Number two, it makes my tolerance too high. Like, so that if I try to smoke a one hitter later, it won't do anything the next day. And I'm like, why am I doing this to myself?
See, that's why I've been scared to try the drinks, because edibles hit me so hard that I'm like, is this the same because I'm drinking it? Like,
yes and no.
It's like faster, right? Would you say
it hits you faster than an edible does.
And they're smaller than edibles. They're not like 10 milligrams, you know,
it's
like
5 or 10. Yeah. Some of them are 2.5. But the thing with it is it leaves faster than an edible too.
Okay.
So it doesn't live in your body for 5 hours, kind of like in that
you're just stuck.
Zone.
You just are like, it's the cliche of the melting under the couch.
With the popcorn and the Lord of the Rings marathon. Yeah.
But that's, we were drinking high rises. We were trying to like talk about like a partnership with them for a while. They're great.
Yeah.
They taste awesome. And I mean, I'm not literally not paid to say this, but, and you drink two of them and you feel great. And maybe you drink a third that night. Maybe you don't, and you're still fine.
Maybe that's my pool drink this summer.
Yeah.
Because I know they don't have a lot of calories, which is great. They have like 15 calories. Yeah. That, I'm like, all right, so it's like a sparkling water.
Yeah.
But like,
when some of them were zero. Now,
how do they do it?
Yeah. I have science. I will tell you that we had them one time down in Key West for Songwriters Festival, because we were like doing a kind of promotion thing where we were like handing them out. And we drank a lot of them, and it's not the same as smoking a lot of weed either.
Okay.
It's different.
I guess I'll just have to experiment.
Yeah. It's strange. But I do enjoy those, because the thing I like about beer is...
Let's go. I'm in on this.
The thing I like about beer is, specifically in a noisy room, I hear all the noise. I hear people talking. I hear... three conversations at once. I'm hearing the music. I'm hearing all of it. And it's like almost overwhelming. When I drink three beers, that goes away. I can pay attention to one thing. I can pay attention to just the music.
So you're self-medicating your ADD is what you're saying.
For sure.
Exactly.
100%. Yeah. 100% I am.
Yeah.
But that's the thing I like about beer. And I've used that for so long, like since I was 15.
You know what to expect.
Yeah.
That's the...
And I was like, I stopped drinking altogether for a while. And then I was like, well, this is kind of dumb. Why am I doing this? So
same.
Then I was like, oh, okay. I can have three beers and not 10.
Yes. That
I
is
can have two beers and not 10.
Yes.
And I feel like a stronger person being able to limit it than
just get rid of it. Totally. Because it's called self-control, which a lot of us don't have in the entertainment industry.
It's hard. And I didn't get it till I was in my 40s that I had it. You know,
we're growing up.
Yeah. But it helps, like you said, I'm self-medicating.
Yeah.
Now, weed I can do too, but depending on the strain of weed, sometimes I don't like to be in public.
Same.
You know, because I'm like so deep in my head sometimes.
Yeah, I'm an indica person, not a sativa person, because a sativa person, like sativas get me.
Yeah, the brain running. That's how mm-hmm. Matt is. Yeah. If Matt smokes a high sativa, he's like,
yeah.
But indica, like, levels him out.
Me
it
too.
Makes his ADHD like.
That was my self-medicating for a very, very, very long time. Yeah. And now I just fucking raw dog life most of the time. But
let's go. Hell yeah. Good for you.
No, you know, I picked up smoking cigarettes again when I cut down on weed, which is not good. But no. What do you like about beer? We were on this.
Well, I just like, I don't, the best beer I've ever had is like after a shitty day at a shitty job. It's just so comforting, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And I like, because I could drink a few beers and like I don't get like real drunk. Yeah, I get more full faster than I get drunk. And so I just think it's kind of like, I mean, obviously the calories aren't the best, but
it just,
I just
takes
like,
the edge off.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like drinking cold beers. Like after the show on Sunday, like I drank a Guinness. It was great. It tasted great. And then went to bed.
That's not even a beer. That's a meal.
People think that, but Guinness is, it's like 4.5% alcohol. And they're not as.
It just feels heavy.
Yeah. Not to me. I think it looks heavier than it is.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah,
maybe that's
it. It has a thickness to it, but it's almost like a light thickness. As weird as that sounds, it's almost more milky.
That's what she said, I guess.
It's almost more milky and like smooth than it is thick.
Creamy.
For me.
That, this conversation creamy. Could be yeah. about something.
That's a whole different kind of podcast.
Yeah. That's next door, maybe.
That milky, creamy Guinness.
But my brother Steve is a big Guinness guy. And he's like, and there's only 80 calories in them or whatever.
Really?
They're yeah. pretty low calorie, yeah.
That is
yeah.
shocking. See, yeah. I drink bubbles because champagne doesn't have any sugar in it at mm-hmm. all, and it's the lowest calorie thing, and so I'd never get hangovers from it. And so I'm that little prissy bitch in the bar like, do you, like, I'm in Losers. Like, do you guys have bubbles? And they're like, this is fucking Losers. Like, but they're like, yes, it has a twist-off cap. I'm like,
sounds sign great.
Me Andre.
Up. I'll be, yeah, yeah, it's not even Andre. It's like something I've never heard of. I hadn't been to Losers in... God, like other than playing around at yeah, yeah. Riley Greens, but yeah. other than that, I hadn't been to Losers. And on Thursday night, I went to Losers and it was wall to wall, like it was 2015 in there.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, wow, Losers just never changes. Midtown can change completely and have none of the same bars, none of the same people. Like, Blue Bar is not there anymore. Nope. Rebar is not there anymore. Like, yep. Kung Fu's closed down. Like, everything is... Even Hopsmith is closed down now.
Yeah.
And it's
really?
Like...
Wow. They all got bought out. The yeah. same company that put in Odie's
mm-hmm.
bought they're
gonna,
Hopsmith.
They're going to do all of Midtown.
Yeah.
I'm the Odie's house band on Fridays, and we're trying to get people in there. So if you're in Nashville, come to Odie's.
Yeah. That's but that's a...
It's a beautiful bar, but...
That's the thing I love about Losers.
I love Losers.
It's like the same. Dusty Armadillo in Ohio, and it's like the Thirsty Cowboy also in Ohio.
There's just the staples that are well, just like...
Honky-tonks.
Yes, real. Like, Losers will just always... Like, this life ain't for everybody, yeah. but it is like... They will always have a place in my heart, and I'll always end up there or Red Door. And, like, Red Door's even changed.
Yeah.
Like, Losers, yeah, they added the Riley Greens and whatever, but the inside still looks the same. Yeah. And it's like you still go out on the back porch, and it's still like, yeah. oh, here's... Four washed up songwriters that are sitting here getting hammered. Like, it is great.
You're making me want to go drink right now.
I mean, Midtown,
I am drinking
Midtown,
right now.
Wait, you guys have the round tonight, right?
Not tonight. We have every other Tuesday.
Dang it.
So we have plenty of time.
I was like, wait, I have plans tonight. I'll go walk from my apartment over there and, you know, support and go get drunk after I go pick up my shit from my ex-boyfriend's house.
Yeah. God. That sucks, but.
You should schedule right tonight at like, 1 a.m.
Right, that's the I'll be over. All no I've already started like four songs since Friday. I'm like, all right, this is gonna be good.
Hell yeah.
It's gonna it sucks asshole, especially because he's keeping the dog.
But, oh, that's a whole song.
Yeah, it sucks, but I'm on the road all the time, and
yeah,
I would be selfish if I was like, because I want to keep her so bad, but I named her, I picked her, and like all the things, but we got her together, and like she's just as attached to him as she is to me. And so
yeah.
mm-hmm. sometimes you just have to be the bigger man, and like this is the right thing to do for the dog. And so Christmas won't
it's
be
like
mine
a divorce.
Anymore. Yeah, it sucks.
That's a song right there. You're gonna write
yeah,
that.
It's yeah, something will come out.
I would love to do the shared custody thing, but I know that doesn't work.
It doesn't.
Your wounds will never heal.
Yes, it's yep. just is what it is.
Yeah, that's
you know?
Life.
That's life.
Then you're what are you feeding her? You're feeding her table scraps, aren't you?
Right, that would be
another fight, like divorced parents.
Yep. Yeah, I had friends back in Pittsburgh that tried to do that for a while. They broke up a very long relationship, and then they shared custody of their dog, and it went so poorly.
Because when you start dating other people, yes. you can't explain that.
Yeah.
It's just like, I still see my ex, but only to drop off the dog. Like, no, that's not going to. No. And I don't want to see who his next person is.
No.
I don't want to know. It's going to be some hot fitness girl. And I'm like, I'm not.
Oh, boy.
You're like, make it go away.
Yeah. I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Crazy.
It's just easier to not know. But I'll be touring Europe all summer, so that's fine.
What? Where are you going?
Next month, I'm playing a festival in Norway, and it'll be my first Norwegian gig. And I've played a lot in Sweden, and I love Sweden, and everyone says Norway's even better than Sweden. So I'm really...
What city? Do you know where you're playing?
3 hours north of Oslo. So gotcha. In the middle of nowhere, literally.
We played there last year, or maybe it was the year before. I don't remember. And I was like, it's going to be so different and so crazy, and it's just kind of like somewhat similar.
The country is the country everywhere.
Yeah.
That is what I have figured out.
I feel like the cities are more like monoculture than like the rural areas maybe. Because like every big city, it's like they have Bud Light and it's like, yeah. or like whatever, you know? And they have cheeseburgers there if that's what you want.
Yeah.
All the country people love Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
And that is such a funny, like I always explain like Europe, and I've said this on a bunch of podcasts. This isn't like a new thing that but whatever. The country people there, like, are obsessed with country because they don't have country radio.
Yeah.
And so they're finding country music like how people in the 80s found rap music with like mixtapes and stuff. But now it's Spotify and YouTube and TikTok and like whatever. So they feel like they own these artists, that they're like, I found them first. Like, I've got this. And they come out to the shows and they don't speak English, but they know every fucking word to your song.
Even the deep cuts.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is insane. It is so wild out there. So like, I love it.
It's fun.
Yeah.
So cool. That's we hear people talk about touring overseas a lot and just how culturally different it is. And rock music, like the rock adjacent stuff, worked so well over there even before it did here.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know? Tom Petty had to go to Europe to become a hit and then come back and be broke over here. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. American Girl was a hit in the UK before it was a hit here.
Crazy.
What?
Yeah.
Did you know that?
That is, it's like a wild, and it like motivates me so much because they think I'm way cooler over there than over here. And so like, I'll be playing a festival in Essex in August, and then doing a German run in October, and then back to England, and trying to book an Ireland one to fill in because I have like a week off. So I just like, all right. So if anyone's listening from Ireland that has a venue,
we know Dave Canavan. I'm sure he knows something.
Yeah. Irish Dave.
Yep. We have a buddy that books Emerald Isle up in Chicago.
Okay.
Which is like an Irish bar that he does like songwriter, you know, come up and hang out and play for 3 hours, 4 hours for a whole weekend. But he has like family and friends that are still over in Ireland. So
we could, right. Yeah.
We'd probably
get some recommendations on venues. The last time I went to Ireland, I played in the middle of nowhere at an old church, and like, it was a good gig, but it was in the middle of nowhere. My fans are like, can you play in like a big city next time?
Yeah.
Like,
play in Dublin.
Yeah.
Dublin is my least favorite European place.
City.
Yeah. I would go back to play because they love country music, but it's Nashville.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It is Nashville.
I'm like, if I just wanted to play in Nashville, I could just play in Nashville.
Yeah, like was it Temple Bar or whatever?
Yes, down there. Temple
Bar. It's like, oh, this is Tootsie's.
Yeah. That's wild.
And you hear Wagon Wheel and all the same covers that they're
Whiskey
playing.
In the Jar. And
yeah, it's like, it's so fun. I mean, I love it. The food was great and I had a good time, but I was just like, this is Nashville.
You're like, we have this at home.
Yeah.
It is very similar to Nashville, I will say that.
That's wild.
It's still great, but yeah.
Yeah.
But Nashville's great.
Galway
we take it for granted, I think, a little bit living here.
We definitely do. Whenever I have friends in town and I go do like the tourist thing, I'm like, oh, this is fun.
Yeah.
Like, and the bands downtown are way better than they used to be, I feel like.
Wow, they're freaking awesome.
Yeah.
They're
on inner monitors and they're playing with tracks and stuff like that. I'm like, what the hell's going down here?
Yeah, I am an anomaly because I don't use ears, so I just listen to the house, and people are like, how are you playing right
and
now?
You're like, what?
I have the hearing of a 70-year-old, like, for sure. But yeah, Broadway is nothing like what it used to be. When I moved to town, you could park on Broadway.
Yeah.
Which is like wild, because like,
crazy.
Now it's,
can't
you
even
know,
think about that.
Back in my day, I used to park across from Tin Roof on Demumbrian.
That's right. I hate what they've done to Demumbrian. Yeah. I just hate it. It makes me so mad, because that used to be the place you go because there's parking.
Yeah.
And now there's no parking
anywhere. Yeah. Unless you park across from BMI. Oh, shit. I gave it away. But it's like, that's, there's like three spots outside of Red Door that are free.
I know. The three, like, yeah.
And the little triangle area.
And they upped all the meters. Yeah. They were $175 forever. And then now it's like, it's $2 for 2 hours. It's $3 for 3 hours. It's $5 for five. It's like, wait, that doesn't make sense. I get charged more for staying longer. Like, that's so mean.
That never bothered me because if I'm going to Midtown, I'm not driving.
Well, that. But like DeMumbrian had so much parking on DeMumbrian, and they just put those bike lanes for no reason.
Yeah.
Like, what is that going to save? That's not going to do anything.
That's someone that wanted them and they made them.
Yeah. I voted for Freddie, but I'm mad at him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't vote, so I can't complain.
But I will say, like, when I first moved to town, I would ride my bike everywhere. Like, I worked downtown and I lived in Midtown. So I used to work at a bar on Second. I would just ride my bike to work at like 5 o'clock, work my shift, then ride my bike home at 5 a.m. I would just do that.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, the two guys in my band, Dean and Mikey, they scoot everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like they scoot.
Like Lime scooters or whatever.
No, they bought their own.
That's what John Sepulveda did.
Yeah. And they just scoot down from their apartment. That's right where the Hermitage used to be.
Yeah.
And go down the street and scoot back, whether it rain, shine, like whatever. It's, you know, I'm close enough that I could do it from Midtown, but like, I feel like my jugs and all my guitar and all my stuff, I don't know if I'd like
need a little more.
Yeah. And like, I'm a girl. It's so, like my hair, like,
yeah, you'd come in there and your hair would just be like frizzed up.
You guys, I just scooted in. Don't mind me. But I could Uber or whatever. But luckily now we get a discount on parking.
That is great.
The library or?
No, they all the bars have made a thing with the city and like they give us little vouchers for $10 parking in like six of the different garages. Nice. So it's still not free, but they're trying to make being a musician down there more, you know, conducive. And that funds my original career, so I couldn't do it without Broadway. And like a lot of my shows, it's not just people from TikTok. Half of them are from Broadway. And so me being down there for almost 10 years has definitely, like, people want to show off their, like, you know, they live in Michigan and I come up and play, like, look at this band I found, like, you know, to their friends. And I appreciate it because that's how we get more fans, is one person tells two people, those two people tell two people. And, you know, so I'm appreciative for all those small town people that, like, saw me in Nashville.
Mm-hmm. And are you playing originals downtown sometimes too? Or
I play whenever I get requested. Mm-hmm. We are allowed. It's such a lie when people say we're not allowed to play. We are allowed to play whatever the fuck we want. It's I play what makes money.
Yeah.
And so because I've had a couple songs go viral, I definitely get like my song Ghost and Hello Friday. I get those both requested at least once a show, if not a few times. So I play those too every day, but I'm not just gonna break out my originals for a bunch of drunk people.
Gotcha.
Because when I'm drunk, I don't want to hear songs I don't know. Yeah. Unless I specifically go to listening room or I specifically go to listen to original music.
Yeah.
I want to hear fucking Sweet Home Alabama.
Yeah.
Same. And like, it's like, I hate that song, but when I'm drunk, drunk me
loves it.
All of a sudden is like, don't stop, believe it. Like, you know, it's just so much. When you're drunk, all the things that you're raised on are just like so nostalgic and like everything is exaggerated. And so people are downtown to get fucked up.
Yeah.
And I know I can sing the fuck out of Sweet Child of Mine, so I might win them over to go listen to my original music if they hear that
you
stuff.
You got your signage and whatever, and they can find you that way too.
Yes, exactly. And like I have QR codes, and like a lot of the places you can't run the tip jug, and so that kind of sucks. But like when I do play, like Whiskey Row, I'm allowed to run the tip jug. And like I talk to every single person in the room. I give every single person a card with a QR code on it. And every person by the end, I touch their arm. I do the thing of just like, hey, you know, it's like
it helps.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're really having a good time, I have original music too. Check us out. You know, whatever. Like, we appreciate your money, but your support goes even further. So, you know, and people do appreciate that. I take pictures with every person and I do the thing. And like, I do the same thing when I go do my original shows.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important to just talk to every single person in the room and like let them know that they are appreciated.
Well, that's how you can take someone from being like, man, that was cool, to being a fan. And you can do that one person at a time.
Absolutely. And people like want to just get out of the, like our show this weekend, we did have to get out of there pretty fast, but we still stayed for an hour and like hung out with, you know, cause we were driving back to Nashville the same night. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, we're already not going to get home till 1 a.m. But like, I want them to have a memory, you know, like when I played Ireland last year, Zach Bryan had just come through the night before or two nights before or something like that. And he actually went to one of the bars and like bought the bar around and like whatever. And the people at my show, because we have like a lot of like a similar audience, like were talking about that. And it's like, he doesn't even know that he made that much of an impact, or he does know. And that's why he does it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, either way, it's cool. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I think it's great. I think it's just like, you know, all of this is about human connection. Music is about human connection.
100%. And that's the power that it really has, is we talked about at the beginning, brings people together.
Yeah. Full circle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's the great thing about music is it brings people together, but personal connection, I think, means more now than ever, with as much as everyone's scrolling on their phone, trying to find personal connection instead of looking left and right.
Yeah.
And trying to find it.
People want to know you're a real person.
Yeah.
And yeah. Not just a piece of shit. Like a Jim Morrison would never live, like be famous now. Like, no. And it's just like, it sucks because I love the Doors. And if there was no Jim Morrison, that would have, you know, I wouldn't have had the influences that I had, but like that wouldn't happen now.
No.
They'd be like, oh, that guy's a dick. Like, look at how much flack fucking Zach Bryan gets.
Oh, yeah.
For being a dick. And we don't know if he's really a dick. Some of the times when that shit happens, he might just be having a bad day.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. I don't know. Not defending him because I don't know if he's a dick or not. But yeah. Just
yeah,
using,
we don't know. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, just as an example. Like, you just don't know.
We were in Oklahoma for Calf Fry, and Zach's dad was there. And he was just kind of like hanging out. And he's like, you guys aren't one of those media publications that talks bad about my son, are you? And I'm like, no, sir, we are not.
And what if we were? Yeah.
It was just funny, you know?
That's so funny because he has such a bad reputation. But it helps his career.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I assume that being that famous would be hard. But it's a problem that you prayed for.
It is. Yeah.
You know?
He says he's retiring. So we'll see.
Yeah.
When we were on tour with him, he said that also.
Okay.
Yeah, he said, "I'm after these three shows, like, I'm done." And Luke's like, we got four shows left, but okay. And now he's headlining we had his booking tour promoter on, and he's doing the largest ticketed event for a single concert ever in the United States.
Notre Dame Stadium.
Yeah, the, what is it, Michigan Stadium?
Oh, Big House in Michigan.
Yeah, and it's going to be 100, he's selling 100,000 tickets.
Crazy.
And John Mayer's opening for him.
That is mind blowing. That is fucking.
Yeah, Zach's crushing. Yeah.
He's crushing it. Oh my God. I am so like.
I'll take a beer from Zach.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. I mean,
buy me around. Same.
I mean, I'm a fan. I think he gets a lot of shit for like what, you know, it's like he's just a dude making music. Like, and I love that he's so messy. Like, he's on Raya while he's out on a date with some other girl. It's like, bro wants to be in the media. He's lying when he says he wants to retire.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure fame is feels very cool at sometimes and feels very bad at sometimes.
Yeah, we have this funny shtick at our show whenever we play either Zach Brown or Zach Bryan. The country music scene is so connected that we're living two realities because Zach Brown wrote Chicken Fried and Zach Bryan dated a chicken fry.
Yeah.
And it's just two different timelines that we're on that they...
Yeah. Multiverse, yeah.
So funny.
Oh, they need to start a super group.
Yeah, oh, man.
True.
I'd watch that.
I saw Zach Brown at a Pinnacle, and they fucking rocked. They were
so good. His band is so
slamming. He rips on guitar.
Good. Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God, they were good.
And now he's buff as fuck and sober and like all with it and whatever. So like, good for him.
Yeah.
Good for him. He went through a messy divorce too.
Yeah, we were at the local, and he came in, and that was when that was happening, and he just was hanging, was taking photos of everybody, and got up and sang a song. And it was for Corey's birthday party, so we were there all night. We were drinking. He was just chilling, just listening to music. There's a really good band playing. And Corey got up on stage, and he was like, he's all drunk. He'd been talking to Zach all night, and he was like, Zach, I'm singing the song with or without you. So if you want to get up here, fine. If not, I'm singing without you. And they did Colder Weather together.
Aw, that is so cute.
It was awesome.
It was absurd.
I love when big... I mean, that's
Zach
Nashville.
Was really cool.
Yeah.
That's Nashville.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That cannot happen anywhere else. Like, it is insane. Like, I think there's more of that stuff here than when I lived in LA. Like,
crazy.
LA was cool, but
so spread out. That's the problem.
Yes.
Traffic and
yeah. I've had crazy stuff. Like, I've been at house parties with like Bob Dylan and like crazy stuff that's like, you know, iconic, but that doesn't happen every day like in Nashville where it's like somebody's somewhere every day.
Well, that's what I tell like people when we book people for, you know, the Duck Blind. I'm like, this bar is the bar that you literally never know who's going to be here.
Never know. Yeah. Y'all were there when the Snoop Dogg thing. That was you guys' show, right?
Well, it was ours ended, and I saw Earn on the back porch hanging with Reese and Cody, and I was like, what's going on? And then Snoop popped up later, and I was like, we were already gone, but I was like, damn, to smoke with Snoop Dogg?
Yeah, literal, like, life goals.
Crazy. Like, but that's the stuff that happens in Nashville.
I know. And, you know, at Losers.
Yeah. We had this band come up from Atlanta that we love. They're, like, rock. They're not even country. And they came up and played one of our events, and we were, like, telling them, you know, hey, this bar, like, you really never know. And then Kid Rock and Cracker were there.
That's
hanging inside the bar, smoking cigars inside of Losers, you know? Like,
just if anyone loves sometimes. To be seen, it's Kid Rock.
Yeah.
It's, that man sometimes. Loves a publicity moment.
Hey, he knows what he's doing, and he drove like a freaking crazy car there, you know? And
yeah, I'm so his, bored, you don't even know the name of it.
Yeah. His, no, he has an orange Cybertruck.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. Like, that is not what I would expect from Kid Rock, but okay.
Just
I'll always have a little bit of bad blood for him, because before Kid Rock's ever existed, he used to come into Tootsie's and he used to sit in the VIP. And at the time I was singing in the band, like, and there was three times he came in and sat. I would like stand on the bar and sing, and then the band is on the stage because Tootsie's doesn't let, at the time they wouldn't let girls front. So I was always someone's side bitch. But that, yeah, it was, things changed very quickly after I left there, but he would sit back there and not tip the band. And it's like, bro, I know you're paying for that VIP booth. I know that you're fucking Kid Rock. You're here at a music venue and you're not tipping the band. Like,
and then like Post comes in the Losers and drops like 10K.
Yes, exactly. And it's like, even
I saw
like,
that on Reddit recently.
Even Chris Young came in Target, and of course, because he just hangs out in Midtown every day. And he did not even watch a single note of our song, and like he went right out to the back patio and he still came in and gave us $100.
Hell yeah.
And it's like
he bought that guy from Radio.
Yes, a guitar.
Chris, like, is a cool guy.
Chris has to just be, I mean, and I've been at the bars with him at the same time a bunch, and he's never been an asshole to me or anyone that I know, but I just was not, I like look at my drummer and I was like, how Midtown is this? Like when he walked in, and then when he left he came up and dropped in $100, and I was like, oh, that was so nice, because he didn't even watch us play.
That's great. He's a good guy. Hey. Great singer too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love Nashville.
It's me wild. Too. I have a love hate relationship with it, because being from LA, I hate the weather. Yeah. But I love everything else.
See, being from Western Pennsylvania, I love the weather. Yeah. It's all relative.
It's been like tornado rain the last few days.
But we don't get a feet in, or a foot and a half of snow here ever. No. You know.
But the snow that we do have, I'm just like, that's even too much for me. I didn't know it snowed until I moved here, and I moved here in November. And it snowed the week I moved, and I was like, I didn't sign up for this. It rained, because I looked at a map and I was like, oh, it's the same place on like as California, like where I'm from in California. It shouldn't be snowy. It's not in the mountains or anything. And then it snowed, and I was like, I wasn't ready for this. I didn't know this was gonna happen.
It's crazy. I mean, I thought the weather was gonna be even better than it is, but it is sweaty here a lot. I will say that.
August and July are tough.
Yeah.
The summer is moist.
Yeah, even in June. It starts like CMA Fest.
It rains every year, CMA Fest.
And it's going to be 100 degrees one day.
Yep.
You know, it's just how it is.
It is how it is. It is just I'll never get over the weather, and I'll never stop bitching about it.
Yeah, it happens. When you're blessed with beautiful weather and you don't really realize how good it is, then you move away. You're like, oh.
It's not even the fact. It's the fact that you can go outside every day.
Yeah.
And that is like
so true.
Such a comfort thing of like, I can see the sunshine
every
single day of my life. Like
Pittsburgh was the, so they talk about like Seattle and how rainy it is. Well, Pittsburgh has more cloudy days than Seattle.
Nashville rains more than Seattle.
Yeah.
What?
Yep.
Well, it's because it rains so heavy.
So much. We get more rain, like more rain than Washington.
Hey, Luke Bryan said rain is a good thing. So
yeah, where I come from.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about music. So you had a new song drop in April.
I did. I had a new song drop in April. I have a new one coming out next Friday. Yeah. And so
what's the actual date?
Is that the 30th? I think it's the 30th.
Yeah.
I don't know. What are days anymore? They all blend They're together. All
weeks well, and days.
Let me pull up my calendar app here.
Well, tell us about that song.
Yes.
Yeah. I wrote that song with Nate Kenyon. It was our second write ever. And it's funny because like at the start of the write, he was like, I want to get a Shane Ajika. And we like wrote the song and I was like, eh, maybe. And then I went back like 3 weeks later and listened to it. And I was like, actually, yeah, this is a pretty fucking good song.
I usually have the opposite reaction. I'm like, I just wrote such a hammer. And I go back and listen to it. And I'm like, what the hell is this track?
I definitely have those moments a lot, for sure. Where it's like, this is definitely my next single. I usually know what I'm going to cut, though. Like, when I wrote Lonely, which was my single that I put out in December, I recorded it the next week. I was like, this song is, like, I'm for sure cutting this. And, like, I had another song that was, like, we were going in the studio the next day, and I cut another song to add that song, like, into the stuff we were going to do. But this song, it was a slow grow on me. But then I listened, like, I tweaked a few lyrics and whatever. And, like, I had asked him, because he's signed to a pub deal and I'm not. And I, like, asked him a couple times. I was like, are you cool with these changes? Are you, like, cool with me cutting this? Like, blah, blah, blah. And he didn't text me back. And I'm like, am I just being, like, ghosted by this, whatever? And so I cut it and I sent him the, you know, the first mix of it. And I was like, hey, any changes that you hear? And he's like, oh, no, great. I love it. Excited for you to cut this song. I was like, okay.
Hell yeah.
Like, whatever. So, but the song is about like life and how money is not the most important thing, and like, you know, with the way that things are going with the economy, we got to be reminded sometimes that there are other things that are important than money, and like your relationships with your friends and your relationship with your family and your, you know, hopefully significant other one day, and having a dog and having like one of the lines is like, I'm thankful just to be alive, knowing on the day I die, a whole room of people will come. And it's just like, you know, like it's good to have people that care about you.
Absolutely.
And like, you know, and nothing makes you richer than human connection once again, the, you know, human connection. And then the last song that I put out in April, cause I'm on that, you know, 8 week schedule. So it's always pushing something, was dedicated to my now ex-boyfriend.
Yay.
Yeah. So that was fun. And it was one of those writes with the girl that she came in and she had just talked to her mom and she was super stressed and started crying on my couch. And, you know, I was talking about my mom. We both had like stage moms growing up. And it's weird how you can be writing about two totally different situations and it comes to be like the same, like the song, and it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how did our two totally different lives make this all make sense? And it's like John Prine said it one time, of like, he was writing about my wife and I was writing about my wife, and like, there.
That's beautiful.
It's true though, but if you think about great songs, people connect to someone's story that has absolutely nothing to do with their story.
Yeah,
that's sometimes the ones you feel most connected to.
Exactly. Like, there's a line in that song that's about her mom. Her dad bought a Greyhound bus ticket for her and her mom to go back to Mississippi while she was pregnant with her. And that's a true story. And how many people, you know, whatever. But so many people, when I released this song, could relate to it and, like, thought that was a made-up thing, you know. But it's like, no, this dad, which I have a shitty dad, and so she has a shitty dad, too. And I'm like, how do we have such parallel lives? But, like, this dad actually, like, bought a ticket for the mom and was like, I'm going to stay here in California. You go back to Mississippi and, like, with this kid and raise it with your mom. Like, damn. Like, crazy. That's some brutal fucking shit.
That is brutal.
But then, like, the chorus is, like, finding someone stable in your life that makes you want to come off the road and stop traveling. And like, you know, whatever. Now it's back to pounding the pavement until I find somebody else that wants to take me off the road.
Sugar daddy.
Well, I'll take one.
How about just regular daddy?
Yeah.
Just regular partner.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, I do. It's a partner in life. We get to live such a cool life. And I want to... Good shot.
Thanks.
I want to experience that with somebody. I think love is so beautiful. It is. And I think that connection is so beautiful. And it's just like, I mean, you have like a sweet relationship with your old lady and you guys both like understand like each other's careers. And
I
think that's such like a beautiful thing. And like getting to, you know, go see like the world as your job and with like your partner, or like, hey, I'm here in this amazing place. Like, wish you were here. Like, we'll have to come back here on a trip one day. You know, like, it's just like, you'll never believe what happened. Like, someone that understands that. And he never really understood my job. And so it wasn't the right person to get me off the road.
Hey, yeah, that's it.
But yeah, all these songs are just, I try to write about real life.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we appreciate it. And I love listening to you sing as often as I can.
Thanks.
We'll have to have you come back soon.
Yes, absolutely. I'm always down for a Raised Rowdy event.
Yeah, and I play steel guitar, so I appreciate you keeping us in business.
That's
on your record.
Right. Yes. I got to have it with some steel.
Steel, yeah.
Got to have some. I love it. I just love. Steel is my favorite instrument, and I will never understand it. I bought one once and tried to learn how to play it, and I was just like, nope. This is not for me.
Like I said, keep me in business.
Yep, that's right. Nothing that's wrong right. with that.
Well, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being you. Thanks. And thanks for sharing your story, yeah. not just with us, but also with people on social media that need it.
Yeah, I hope that just one person, you know, has a good day because of my songs.
Yes, they do. Well, guys, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon, and we'll see you in the front row. Thank you.